Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia, being broadcast through People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on ShakingWakeRadio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what's going on over here, please hit the donate button. I know they could use the help, and thanks for tuning in today. I've been away for a couple of weeks, so it's good to be back. And today I'm honored to be joined by Mr. Roman Light, who has a website called Referendum Initiated by Citizens, RIC in short. And Roman is over in France, and I'm also joined by Gary Gilbert, founder of Synthesis Canada, Synthesis USA, Synthesis International. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and I'm going to let Roman speak first and kind of bring people up to date with his involvement in the Yellow Vest in France, how he got involved, and what's happening over there right now. Welcome to the show, Roman, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me, Barry. I'm honored to be here and trying to bring that message of freedom and sovereignty and fraternity that the Yellow Vest is trying to bring to the world. And it's an honor to be able to speak to people from overseas who have maybe probably a lot of questions about what's happening in France. And I'm here, guys, if you have any questions.
Well, yeah, why don't you tell people exactly how you got involved and where is it going right now? And are we seeing an increase in activity? Are we seeing an increase in people getting involved? The one thing that I did see this week was a fair bit in violence being perpetrated by people wearing yellow vests. Are you seeing infiltrators coming into the group trying to get a different message across, trying to influence public opinion? That's one thing I noticed this week. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, indeed. This week has been a bit more violent than previously because it's now the third month that we are blocking the whole country. For those who are not aware of that, France is going through a massive insurrection since 3 months now, and I know there's a big blackout from the media, which is pretty outstanding considering that France is quite a big country. It's quite a renowned country. For the first time, we're starting to see more violence coming from the peaceful protesters who are starting to lose patience with the government not listening to them. We are probably having between 300,000 and 400,000 people every weekend minimum for the last 3 months getting out, protesting, doing peaceful march, and we had something like we're getting close to now 2,000 people who has been injured, with at least 300 people who have been badly injured. And when we say badly injured, is people who lost an arm or lost a hand or lost a foot or had like a broken skull or or are in a coma. And we even had like up to 10 deaths since the beginning of that movement. So it's wow. It's really impressive to see the silence of the international community. And it tells a lot. It tells a lot because there's a lot of there's a lot of things happening in France. And if France is getting successful, they all know that it's going to have repercussion all across the world.
Well, I didn't realize, I guess I have been watching it quite a bit, but I didn't realize the levels of violence being used by the police until somebody brought that to my attention last week, that there has been this many people injured. I saw the one gentleman that got shot in the back of the head, and he's in a coma, I guess, or he's permanently disabled. There's multiple reports of it that, the violence is now coming from the government side. But where is it going to go? Are we going to see a state of civil war in France? It seems to be going in that direction. And it's just not France. We see it everywhere right now. This movement is really rising, that people are at a point now where they're just they're at their wit's end, that there is no other option but to actually get in the street and let the government know exactly how displeased you are with what's going on. Where do you think it's going? Do you think we're going to see a state of civil war in France? Because I hear a lot of chatter about that.
Well, it depends how you define civil war, but as far as I'm concerned, it's already the case. When you have a civilian who has been attacked by police, and we had, as I said, 300 people who lost a part of their body, This is already something like that needs to be qualified as a war zone. We have like attitudes which are going beyond understandable with like government giving some direction to refuse to take care of people injured when they go to the hospital. We had something like, I think now we're getting close to 8,000 people who has been arrested by police, with only 200 being jailed. Like 200 is huge. Like, don't get me wrong, 200 is huge, but 6 or 8,000 people arrested for only 200 people jailed. It actually means that they are using tremendous amount of force to trying to get people away from protesting every weekend. We also have like situation where, like even a few days ago, a man received dispersion bombs in his hand and lost his hand, and it's really gore. Like if you type on YouTube and Google it, you would see images of that guy with like piece of flesh getting out of his arm. Like it's literally pictures of war zone, and it's happening on the Champs-Élysées, and it's so shocking that it seems that people don't realize what's going on. And they don't want to understand that France decided that we had to draw that line on the sand, and the government didn't took it seriously. And the more they were getting violent against us, the more we were getting determined. And now we come to a point where I believe now there's going to be more and more and more and more violence, and it's just going to end in a bloodbath. Like there's no way we're going to get out of it, because the government obviously shown his true face, which is that they are not here to support the people. They're here to apply an agenda upon us. And now that we understand that, we are not going to let it go until we're going to succeed.
I've seen Merkel and Macron forming a union to stand against this these protests, and lots of closed door meetings going on there. We've also had a request in chat that people would like to hear about your involvement with the Yellow Vests right from the beginning. You were right at the very beginning of this movement, correct? Somebody in chat asked me to get you to explain that real quick, if you would.
Yeah, well, as soon as I saw that movement, I understood very quickly that this was not just a classic movement, and I decided to get into it and to be a part of it. And I don't regret it, because it's probably the movement that I was dreaming of for years, and that isn't promoted by the government, is not funded by any international power like Soros or the Antifa or those type of private agenda that are just there to create chaos. It's actually doing something that the government hate, which is that people are starting to reconnect, and they're starting to talk to each other, and they're starting to do things together that they haven't done for years. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see people starting to remember what it is to be human, what it is to be connected to others. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And as soon as I felt that there was no political party involved, there was no specific revendication from one part of the population, it was for everyone. It was like everyone is welcome, no matter your skin color, no matter your political orientation, no matter your religion, no matter your union, everyone is welcome to be a part of that movement. Right. And therefore, I felt that this was new, this was unique, this was powerful, and it was, and this was the right opportunity to bring ideas that me and a lot of people studied for years that can be a real game changer for the whole population and the whole world.
True definition of a grassroots movement, to what I see. And boy, I'll tell you, it's growing very, very quickly. You know, we have been joined. Gary hasn't had a chance to get a word in here edgewise yet. I'm going to give Gary a second to weigh in on his thoughts on this. Gary is the founder of Assistance to Social Guys, and I urge you to go look at his what he's doing right now on his websites. Welcome to the show, Gary. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Hey, Barry. Hello, Roman, and everybody out there in internet land. I'm not sure. What do you want me to weigh in on? I'm listening to the conversation, but
just on the general conversation on what your thoughts are on what's going on with the Yellow Vests in France and what's going on with the Yellow Vests in Canada, the movements we're seeing right now.
Apples and oranges. Yellowbook in France, it started out in the direction that it is, and it's evolved, and it's grown across the globe. And for the most part, the global awakening is in its actual message, which is, you know, as we've talked about in the past, we the people. It's about taking back your voice, taking back your rights to choose, taking back your control over your life, instead of giving it up to these elected few who don't listen, who don't do what's supposed to do, you know, what they're supposed to do on behalf of the citizens. Only in Canada, sadly, outside of the rest of the global movement, decides to be that rebellious redheaded stepchild and do their own thing and make it about what it's not. So they've co-opted the concept, but not the message. They take the symbolism because they know it's effective. They collect the people as a result of that symbolism, but they push a different narrative. And it's a shame, because in the end, it's not going to have a good result. In the end, people will come back around and get to where the rest of the globe is. And we're starting to see that now. We're starting to see people to wake up and understand. But it's a slow process, and it's not without its growing pains. So, you know, in the end, it's apples and oranges. It really is different. Different mentality, different direction, different everything. Until it comes in line with that, I'm not sure what there is to say.
Well, a lot of people really haven't even heard of RIC. Roman, could you explain the concept?
All right. So the RIC is the acronym of a referendum initiated by the citizen. It's a concept that has been developed in France for the last 10 years by a man called Etienne Chouard, which is a teacher in economy. And he basically made the analysis of the dysfunction system in our society and find out the key points that we all, I mean, feel in a way, but we never really thought about. And that is the essential aspect that is missing in our current society. So in America, for example, in California, you guys can actually trigger a referendum if you want to destitute someone that is not doing the right job. So this is called the revocatory referendum, where we want to revoke someone from his position. But it's not the only referendum initiated by the citizen that can be done. We are promoting the RIC in all matter, which means that we can use it for revoke someone, for abrogate a law, to change constitutional laws, or to change the law itself. So, to propose a law. So we can propose a law, we can abrogate a law, we can revoke a person, or we can change an element of the constitution. But this is just because we haven't think about more. Like, we're even now starting to implement a RIC called the convocation RIC, convocatory RIC, which is to convoke a group of people to actually think about something and give their results to the population, so the people can then make a vote, a referendum, about what they think about the point that has been found by that that group of people. So, like, every time we are thinking about new concepts, we actually found out that the only thing that basically people need to do to change the world is to get back the initiatives of the referendum, not waiting for the government to consult the people about what they think in a specific situation. We need to have the right and the legal power to trigger that national referendum, that if it's yes, if the people are in the majority voting yes, will be imposed to the people in power, and not just waiting for them to confirm or to agree with what we're saying. So the whole idea is that, let's say, 1% of the population make a polls or make a petition, and people are signing up. Let's say 1% of the population is signing that petition. Then legally, we will have an organism, a legal organism, that will be in charge to organize that referendum, national referendum. And if the people are voting yes to that idea, then this will be automatically implied into the law without asking permission to the Senate, the Assembly, and the government. And that very tiny, simple idea has the power to change the whole world. So in the very beginning, the Yellow Vest movement was coming from that petrol and tax issue. But this was just what triggered the movement. Like right now, most of the people do not care about the petrol. They only care about the situation, which is that we are facing a government that claim to get this power from the people and do not care about what we think, do not care about what we want. And the more they're showing violence and arrogance, and the more the people are getting upset, and the more people are becoming violent, which is going into this vicious circle that not going to end well, basically.
Mm. Well, we haven't got to that point in Canada yet, but that probably will come in the near future, as we're dealing with a fascist dictatorship in Canada. And we see a government right now that's absolutely destroying this country at light speed. And Canadians are starting to wake up. But unfortunately, Canadians are very, as Gary said earlier today, and it's very true, we're very apathetic people. That, you know, Canadians are great-hearted people. I still believe there's lots of Canadian men out there with testicles left, but I'm starting to wonder how many are left. The fact that we see this going on in our country right now, and most Canadians are absolutely oblivious to it, don't want to get involved and don't want to take the time out of their day to actually stand up against what we see going on, it makes me ask myself a lot of questions about where this country is going and what it's going to take for Canadians to wake up. We see this going on all over the world right now. I mean, it's going on in Australia, New Zealand. It doesn't matter where you look. We see the basic same agenda being played out on the people. And what I'm seeing now is this Yellow Vest concept and movement is actually giving people an opportunity to have their voices heard. I know if in Canada, if any political party put forward on their platform, and I have put this forward to Mr. Maxime Bernier himself in a conversation, that if the government brought in recall legislation as part of their mandate and would bring that into law as the next governing body of Canada, they would get a landslide victory, because the actual idea of people being able to have a say in what's going on in our government, except for once every 4 years for 9 hours, would go over well with Canadians, because a lot of Canadians are at the breaking point. Gary, what do you think about all that I just said? And I didn't mean to get into a rant, but I tend to do that once in a while.
That's okay, Barry. That's why we love you.
Well, it's a big puzzle. It really is. Go ahead.
I have a little difference of opinion than, say, Roman or some other people when it comes to the RIC. I don't think it's something that's just a new thing. It may be a new label, a new terminology, but I look back, as I've mentioned prior, in history. I mean, France gave America the RIC. It's how they rose up. It's how they took their country back from the Brits and became America. And we've seen it even further back in history. The French have this natural inclination towards self-evolvement and self-direction. They've always been caught up, just like the rest of the world, in the current game we have in politics and in society. But they've always managed to say, you know what, this is kind of messed up. It's time we stop this. And they stand up. Now, when it comes to fixing, for instance, Canada, the RIC is that tool to do so, by whatever label that people want to put to it. But it's going to start with things like that, implementing right into the Constitution things like recall legislation right across the board. And the difference between today and, say, other times, especially when it comes to the concepts of direct democracy, the difference is today we are in such a technologically advanced age where communication and integration of technology has become a standard of life. It's not no longer a luxury or a novelty. It's actually everyday life. We now have that ability, which is one thing that I'm thankful for the French to stand up again, to show that world that beacon again, because we now have the opportunity right across the globe to actually implement those desires legally within the broken system that we have.
Right.
So by utilizing something like recall legislation, utilizing the tools of RIC, we don't have to wait 4 or 5 years to get rid of a corrupt politician or a politician that's refusing to acknowledge his responsibility and his role. We don't have to allow bad policies to be pushed without our approval, you know. And if we do make bad decisions, because here's something that doesn't get talked about a lot, Roman's touched on it before, and some others have, but it doesn't get put out there. The idea of the RIC, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be fixed and everybody's going to be happy and everything's going to be whatever, because we're people, we're human beings, and we make bad choices, we make bad decisions. So we can vote and have a referendum by the citizens and absolutely make the wrong choice. And we will suffer the consequences of that choice, or alternatively, reap the rewards. The difference is, if we do make a bad choice, because of the RIC, because of recall legislation, some other tools, we will have the ability to put it back on track, to change those mistakes, learn and grow from them, and implement proper things. That is why it's so important.
Absolutely. I mean, we listened to the Liberal government here in Canada prior to the election, and there isn't one promise that they've kept, and they've broken most of the ones that they did make, and Canadians feel powerless. We have a majority government that's basically doing whatever they want at this particular point, and we don't have any way of stopping it. And here we have a mechanism that will stop it. So I urge people to kind of look at this, and I'm being honest, I'm just really starting to look at it and understand the power that people can have if we embrace this. So I'm glad to have you guys on today and talking about this, because I've been quite honest, I haven't really, up till about a month ago, really looked at this hard. And it is an answer to a lot of the problems we have right now with government. So good having you guys in. Roman, I had a question for you, believe it or not, and it just slipped my mind. And that's bad, isn't it? That shows definitely that I'm getting old when I have a hard time holding on to thought. Excuse me, guys. That's embarrassing. That happened about 3 months ago, and I completely went brain dead for a sec. So you guys will just have to bear with me for a sec. And somebody else take over for a sec. I'm not a professional by any stretch of the imagination.
I have a question for Roman.
Yeah, please.
Roman's actually back in France. He's from Australia. He stayed when he was on vacation. I mean, he's originally from France. He stayed back in France when he was on vacation due to the situation with the Yellow Vest uprising in France. But my question to him is this: where does he see the Yellow Vest direction in, say, 6 months or a year or 5 years down the road? On both a personal level, what he'd like to see, but also what he thinks realistically is going to be the outcome. With things escalating the way they are, with people being maimed and you know, violently changed in their life due to the responses from the government and the police, what does he think is going to be the outcome of this? And does that match with what he'd like to see the outcome be?
Well, like, as I said before, I think the more we move forward, the more it's becoming more and more obvious that the situation will have to go through a bloodbath that is going to wake up a lot of people, because I think a lot of people are still not aware of the way the world is actually working, and the shock that that what's happening in France is actually happening in France is going to wake up a lot of people. Unfortunately, even the policemen, because like, we have four type of police people in France, and we have the military, which are not intervening in any way, shape, or form. We have the gendarmerie, which are a form of military police, but they only work in the countryside, and we have normally not much problem with them. It's more the big city police that we have problem with, and we have two of them, which is one, the BAC. BAC is the BAC, stand for Brigade Anti-Criminality, which are people extremely violent, which normally are dealing with criminals, and now the government is sending the anti-criminality brigade against their own citizen. Like, we talk about mums and dads, we talk about children and all people going out protesting with their yellow vest and getting beaten up by anti-criminality people, which are heavily weaponized, even if it's plastic bullets, and if it's not lethal bomb, they can still kill, they can still damage badly bodies. And we are the only country in Europe which is using those LBD-40. It's called the LBD-40, which is that plastic bullet that send a plastic bullet of about 10 centimeters long at 300 kilometers an hour. So this will not kill, but this will definitely injure someone for life. And we have many, many cases of people, including that man, Jérôme Rodriguez, which is a very famous people in France, a yellow vest figure, who actually lost an eye 2 weeks ago, 2 weekend ago. And how this is going to end, it's not going to end well, because we now know that Macron hasn't been elected by the people. He has been put in place by the international bank cartel. And he's not going to leave until the cartel, the mafia, is going to tell him to leave. And now we have the proof of that. We have the proof that no rational president would actually damage their own citizen the way they do, like with a sane brain, with a sane mind. Like we speak about 3 months worth of protest, and he didn't once apologize for all the like 2,000 people injured by the police. 2,000. If Putin had done that, the whole world would have fallen to Russia. If we had all the videos and the pictures that we have that can prove that Bashar al-Assad had done that to his citizens, the whole international nation will fall on him and destroy his country. It's happening on civilians in France. We have hours and hours and hours and hours and hours showing the way we are treated by our government, and there's absolutely no words overseas. What does it tell you? It tells you that, like what most of the people here must know, which is that we are under control of an international banking cartel. We are controlled by an international media cartel that is selecting exactly what people need to know and what people don't need to know. This is how you control people. Like you are complaining about what Canadians are doing, but what Canadians can do if they don't know what's happening? If they knew what was happening in France, maybe they were starting to realize that, wait a second, like, is Trudeau that much different from Macron? No, he's not. He's applying exactly the same agenda. That's how you can know that he's receiving the same direction as Macron. They imply exactly the same principle. We could say that Macron is ordering to Europe, but then therefore why Trudeau is applying the same thing that Macron is doing in France. It doesn't make sense.
It's actually funny because Trudeau and Macron have been together multiple times. There's a lot of pictures of the two of them together in very
huggy,
interesting posing. And, you know, the thing is...
Nothing to see there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been quite interesting to see the ties between Macron and Trudeau. So it's not a wonder or a surprise that their policies are very similar.
Well, they're just doing what George and his boys are telling them to do, man. Come on. I mean, Trudeau didn't have a two-hour closed-door meeting with Soros and Davos, and they didn't talk about family. I mean, Trudeau is globalist to the core, and we know that. And we're doing exactly what Macron is doing in France and that Merkel did in England, or in Germany, I should say, and what's going on in England. The same agenda, just different players. And it's very, very blatantly obvious in Canada now exactly where Trudeau's loyalties, they're not with Canadian people. I mean, all you have to do is look at the amount of money that Canada's given to countries like Yemen and Libya, the United Nations, the Clinton Foundation, blah, blah, blah. The list just goes on and on. But every one of these countries that's been receiving money from Canada has direct ties to radical organizations. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where Trudeau's at. Question is, what can we do at this particular point in our time right now, because things are getting out of control in Canada. And here we're talking about a referendum that can actually make an impact. I am going to spend a lot of time looking into this gentleman in the next little while, because we're looking for answers.
It's actually amazing to see the whole concept grow across the globe. A lot of people don't realize that even the Americans are jumping on board and actually, you know, really, really becoming educated on the topic, really becoming educated on the situation. And the thing is that I find funny, like, Canadians have always been kind of passive and you know, very calm. And we get stereotyped so polite, you know. Our version of road rage is like, oh, I'm so sorry, let me get out of, you know what I mean, kind of jokes and stuff, where the Americans are always viewed as more aggressive. And we see the things going on in France, and there was a question brought to some senators down in the States. What are they going to do? Are they worried about this coming to the States? I know if it comes to the States in the same way, that we will see it in Canada in the same way, because that's just traditionally how things go in North America. But I honestly would like to believe that the pressure that the French people are putting on the globalists and Macron specifically, I believe that they're turning more and more everyday average Joe French people to become more in line with the concept of taking that power back through the RIC. I'd like to see the military and the police jump on board wholeheartedly, because we'll see a real big turning point, I think. And I think that's possible. I think it's coming. I mean, although we do see the violence right now predominantly from the police, I also see the sympathetic side coming out within the government services as well. Like, there was not too long ago, what was it, a month ago, I guess, Roman, where the ambulance people, the medical personnel had kind of stood beside the yellowvesters.
Yeah, we see some surrealistic situation where some cops are blocking street medics to come and heal injured people. This is kind of things that you don't even see in war. Like, in war, when people are injured, like, you let the medic do their job. Like, we are having videos showing cops insulting the medics and asking them to be on their knee or face on the floor while someone is bleeding on the floor next to them. It's just unbelievable. It's just, like, out of... And people don't understand. People don't want to understand that this is the true face of democracy. Democracy is basically agree with the people in place, the power in place. And if you don't, then you're going to see the true nature of democracy. And that's what a lot of people are facing today. Like, yesterday we had some scene where the police sent some tear gas into the metro, where there was, like, citizens who didn't even protest, who didn't do anything with their children, with and you see, like, those surrealistic scenes when you see people running away from the metro with people crying and screaming and yelling and say, what the hell is going on? Like, it looks like a war zone. And I'm so surprised that people don't know what's happening. You just need to type Yellow Vest online on YouTube and like, Yellow Vest France, like, and you can see the amount of videos and hours and hours and hours showing the violence is like we can't, just to go back to the previous picture and the previous question, we can't measure the impact of what's going on here because people don't realize what's happening. But when you realize what's happening, you understand that this is not something unusual. This is the kind of scene that normally you see in third world country or you see in war zone. You are not prepared to see this happening in the Champs-Élysées. And when you see this happening, you're like, okay, now I understand that this is a turning point. We are writing history. Like, it's not something that's just going to go like this and say, oh, yeah, fine, guys. Just forget about it. Like, we're just going to move forward. It's not going to happen. Like, people are going to seriously having to question what they've been through and understand the deep core of what they've been through and understand the reason why they've been through that to actually make a change that will have consequences all across the world.
Mm. Well, we see it growing all around the world right now. People are at a breaking point. And I think the time is now for this to rise, because if we let this go on much longer, we might get to the point where the window of opportunity closes on us. So the Yellow Vests in Canada, yeah, they've taken some of the concepts and they have jumped on board with the concept of the Yellow Vests. But even though they might not be totally on board with what you folks are doing in France, not a true grassroots movement, in a lot of ways it is that we see Canadians looking for a mechanism to voice their displeasure. And if this convoy does anything in Canada, be it good, be it bad, it will raise public awareness to what's going on inside our government. We just got this affair coming out now, and if the Trudeau government is not out of power here in 10 days from now, then we truly know our country is corrupted to the very, very core of its justice system, because SNC Lavigne just came out. The information that's coming out about government influence in judicial matters in Canada, this whole corruption that's being exposed with this major corporation in Quebec, if that doesn't get our prime minister removed, I don't know what will. I've been following that closely, very, very closely in the last couple of days, and it is looking like it's going to be one of the biggest scandals in Canadian history. Are they going to be able to brush this one under the rug, Gary?
Well, I guess time will
tell. It's a big one. It's a big one.
It is.
Mm-hmm. If it's proven to be true, then there is no other recourse but for the Prime Minister to resign. There is no other recourse.
And I don't see it happening even still. I mean, he was charged with ethics violations, and they walked away from that.
Grope
it's
Gate.
Going to be different this time.
Yeah, Grope Gate. Everything that he's done is just being brushed under the rugs. We've got to call it our police forces at the highest levels in this country because they're corrupt to the core. Or Trudeau would be in jail right now if our police forces were actually working in the benefit of the Canadian people. In my opinion, Justin Trudeau would be in jail right now because his acts of treason against the Canadian people are blatantly in our face. No deny. Period.
I don't see it doing much. I honestly don't. It's not. We're not going to be able to fix a system, a broken system like the one we have with Facebook memes and likes and blah 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 blah. It's gonna come back to what we've been talking about, which is the RIC. And it's gonna come back to people finding the courage to stand up and take their voices and their control back. And when people do it, whether it be in Canada or across the globe, then we might just see a change and the system actually start working the way it was designed or meant to be for the people. But until we do that, we're going to see more of these kinds of things come out. We see it. We see it with Merkel. We see it in the UK. We see it in France with Macron. We see it in Canada. We see it with Obama in the States. And it's actually on both sides. It's not just the liberals and the left. It's on the right side as well with the conservatives. And it's because the system has become an economic engine, and they've allowed economics to infiltrate politics. And they should have always kept that separation. Until we get back to that separation where the people can now control the actions of the politicians, what do you really think is going to change? Why do you think that a prime minister won't be able to get away with doing certain things, or a president not be, you know, look at the whole Kennedy namesake in the States, you know? The things that they right across the board had gotten away with. I happen to like Kennedy as a president. But when you look at his family and all the things they did, all the crimes they committed, and they were actually more for the people than the majority of the presidents I know, you know, at least in this last century anyways, it's not going to change by replacing the face. We got to stop voting in personality and start voting on policy again.
Well, we all know the speech that got him assassinated. All my point was, Gary, is just a lot of Canadians don't understand the depth of corruption in their government. You're not going to get it. And the only positive that comes out of this is people becoming more aware, because people come to a tipping point and a breaking point in their own lives where they have to look in the mirror and ask themselves, what is going on and what am I going to do about it? And if this works to get anybody to that point, then in my world, it's a good thing. That's all I'm saying.
I do agree. I mean, you've stated it in the past. Roman stated it today and also in the past. And I share the same feeling. You know, it's getting that information out. It's getting the awareness out there. But I'm also of the train of thought of this. We live in 2019. It is a time unlike any other time in the history of mankind. We can reach out to you in the West Coast of Canada, to Steve down in the States, to Roman over in France, to me in Northern Ontario, sign it live and discuss things where all through history, we've never been able to do that. So education is there. The information is there, and it's up to the individual to take the time to actually sort through it and get to the information. And there's no excuse not to, because it's a common conversation today. Mm-hmm. I haven't met any Canadian, haven't spoke or met with any Canadian who doesn't understand that something's not right. And they may not have all the information. They may not have all the level of corruption, but they do know that the system is corrupt. And that's on both sides of the gate. That's both on the liberals and the conservative crowds. You know, it's no different down the States. It's no different in Europe. It's no different anywhere that I talk to people, that they don't realize that things are just not right. Nobody trusts the MSM anymore. Nobody trusts the politicians anymore. Nobody trusts the system or the education system or the economic system. Everybody on both sides say it's broken. So knowing this, that's great. That's one thing. That's wonderful. It's important because that's the beginning of things. But we have the information out there. Social media like Facebook, for instance, talks about it daily. No matter which side of the fence you're on, you see posts from friends, from family, from people that you've connected with, random posts. You go to a group. I mean, people join hundreds of groups, you know, and they see all these different trains of thought, all these conversations. The information is out there. There's no excuse to not understand. We may not see the actual events happening with the yellow vest in France on, say, Fox TV or BBC or CBC. But guess what? When I log into someplace like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I'm seeing something about the realities of what's happening there on the ground. And when I reach out to folks, when I reach out to people like Roman and say, hey, bro, tell me what's going on. And he says, well, let me tell you. And he shows videos and pictures and, you know, conversations. I now educate myself on what's really happening. And we all have that ability. Everybody has that ability. There's no excuse not to today. It's your civic responsibility to understand what's going on around you, not to stick your head in the sand, not to avoid it because the NIMBY concept, not in my backyard, so why do I got to worry about it? I don't need to worry about it till it happens to me. Well, the reality is it does happen to you, and it will happen more. So it is true. We do need to educate and make aware, but it's also up to the people themselves directly to take the time to pay attention to something beyond football and Xbox.
I agree with 100%, Gary. Unfortunately, those are very, very powerful tools of deception and distraction in society now that we deal with. You know, major sports, we could talk about all the different distractions. But you're right, there is no excuse for not knowing what's going on. But unfortunately, most Canadians, or not most, I'd say a majority or a small percentage or whatever percentage of Canadians really just, for some reason, like you said, are apathetic and just don't seem to give a rat's ass about what's going on in our country. So how do we change that, or can we? Big question I ask myself every day.
Well, what's worked for you in France, Roman? What about you, Steve? You've been quiet. What do you see working down the States?
Well, the luck that we had in France was that we had a real dickhead at the head of a country called Macron, which basically upset everything that makes France. He insulted French people many times, calling us psychopaths or stupid Gaelic or schizophrenic people. He changed the whole social tradition of France so quickly that, you know, it's like the frog story, you know, like if you want to kill a frog, you just heat the temperature slowly and you have a chance that the frog will not feel, they will just like go to sleep and die. But if you're turning on the heater too quickly, the frog will have the time to feel the heat. And, you know, French have a tradition of eating frogs. So we don't like hot water. So that guy increased the temperature way too quickly. And now, he upsetted the old people. He basically lied from A to Z. And the fact that he removed a tax for the ultra rich and it's just a symbol because it's not that much money. It doesn't represent that much money, but it's just a symbol that he refused and it's still refusing to question the fact that this tax is the symbol of the ultra rich people, the like say 0.1% of France, which are taking the whole money of the country. Basically, it's the fact that France is losing $40 billion a year in interest of debt that has been contracted for a reason that we still don't understand. We still don't understand why the France, which has a tradition of 5,000 years being able to create their own money, is suddenly not capable of creating its own money without borrowing the money on the international market and generate like that $40 billion euros debt just for the interest, not for the capital, not even for the capital, just paying back the interest represents $40 billion a year. And if we add on that the $100 billion about $100 billion of tax invasion that can only happen because of Europe, a tax facility. Like, we're losing literally $150 billion per year. The French, the French government, budget per year is about $250 billion. So something like 2/3 of this amount is disappearing in tax heaven and in the interest of a debt that doesn't make any sense. And people are starting to realize that. They're starting to say, wait, what? Seriously? Is it the reason why we can't have a hospital? Is it the reason why we can't build, we can have a higher pay? Is it the reason why? Like, people are slowly, very, very slowly starting to realize, like, wait a second. Like, is it really what's going on? Because they don't know. They don't know. They just, like, pay attention to their life. They have a game. They learn the rule of the game. And then they're playing the game the way they can. Okay, you have to make studies. You have to find a job. You need to be good at what you do. You need to keep your job, blah, blah, blah. But they don't get interest about bigger picture. But when you're starting to give them those numbers, like $150 billion over 250 are lost every year in things that people don't even understand, they start to realize, wait a second, like, is there not something that can be done to avoid that thing to happen? And I'm not even talking about the money that we give to Europe. Like, we give an extra $30 or $40 billion per year to Europe just to make it function, you know? And when you're starting to add up all those numbers, you're like, wait a second. And we can't find a few hundred million dollars for the homeless. We can't find a few hundred million dollars to fix the schooling system, the educational system, and all that. And when you ask that to the president tell you that, no, that's the way it is. And we're going to just reduce a little bit your retirement pension because, you know, you need to support the young generation. And the people are like, wait, what? I'm already living with something like 500 euros a month, which is probably about 800 Canadian dollars a month. And you want to remove some money from me? And like, it's going in such a point that people don't have another choice than realizing that if they're not standing up, they're going to be basically like sell us out. In 5 years' time, we're just going to become China. That's the point. So we don't really have the choice. We need to stand up because now we are starting to smell, we're starting to touch that poverty system that is put in place, that slavery system that has been put in place based on two level, which is first tax evasion for the ultra rich. Because, you know, the ultra poor, if you owe like a dollar, they're going to send you a $30 fine if you don't pay them in time, you know? But for the ultra rich, which are making billions of dollars and don't pay 1 cent of tax, that's fine. You know, that's okay for them. Mm. When you see such a level of inequality, people have to stand up. And the more they learn the way it's happening, the more they learn how disgusting this system is, the more they're like, what have I done for the last 30 years of my life that I didn't pay attention about anything about this system? I only focus about what they told me to focus on. And now I'm just realizing that has been completely screwed up. My future has been taken away from me. My present has been taken away from me. And what can I do right now? It's already too late. So now people are just really lose their patience. They're really starting to lose patience with the system, saying like, guys, okay, fine. You screw us up for years now, but now the cat is out of the box. So what are you going to do now? You're going to just tell us, no, that's fine. You don't understand. You know, like, the tax evasion is good for the country, or the tax evasion is good for whatever bullshit theory that they have. Like, people don't want to listen to that. So they don't trust any people. And this is why there's no leaders in this movement. And they don't want to hear about leaders. They just like hate anyone who wants to represent power.
I have to apologize, folks. Thank you, Barry, for having me on. Nice talk with you and Roman and Steve again. I'm going to let you guys continue, but I'll pop back when I just have to go for a bit. So I'm going to say goodbye for now and talk to you soon.
Well, you go, Gary. Thanks, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today, Gary. Always a pleasure. Anyways, you're absolutely spot on that, you know, we're seeing the greatest wealth transfer in the history of mankind right now unfold in front of us. That everything that we've been led to believe is truth is a lie. And we've been deceived our whole lives is exactly what's going on in our world and how our world is being run by lunatics that represent a very, very small percentage of the population in the world, but control just about every aspect of our lives. People are waking up to it in droves. We are looking for answers. We're looking for directions that we can go. And henceforth, RIC, to me, is probably about the only logical course that we can go at this point. Myself, Roman, I love what you guys are doing. And I'm going to spend, I promise you, I'm going to spend a lot more time looking into this and supporting what you guys are doing. Because we are at a kind of a pinnacle time right now in human history that the power of governments and the power of the money and the people that control it is getting to a point where, like I said, the window might close, that we might not have this opportunity in the future. So I think the time is now.
I think so, yeah. I think so, and I can't wait enough for people to wake up to what's going on in this planet, because there's absolutely no way it's going to sustain this way. And I'm definitely involved into this global revolution, and my focus now is not that much about protesting. It's not that much about going towards the system. It's about creating a new system, and this is how we met with Gary, and we are building a new system that is going to inspire people to be a better person. And we, like, instead of begging to be listened and instead of begging to get power, we're basically going to create something and attract people to that platform, so people will basically have a smell and a touch of what freedom mean, what true freedom mean. So I strongly recommend people to get in touch with me. They can get in touch with me with through my Facebook page, Rick RIC, Referendum Initiated by the Citizens, Roman Light. They can find me on Facebook, or they can find me on YouTube, Referendum Initiated by the Citizen, Rick. So it's quite easy. They can have access on YouTube on all my videos, all the interviews that I made so far, all the lives and the talk that I share about, like, the Rick and the whole concept and the solution that we can bring to the people. If they need inspiration, that's the only purpose of that channel. Inspire people to understand the deeper core of the problem that we're facing and how we can solve it using simple tool that we already have access to. So I'm always available for people to get in touch with me. I'm just a dad trying to do something positive for the future of our children. And something is telling me that we are writing history right now, and there's going to be beautiful things happening in the future. Like, we're going to have to go through a period of chaos. There's no way around, not because of us, but because of the people that we're facing and the psychopaths that we're facing with their agenda. And they have an agenda. They are imposing that agenda. And therefore, everything that is go across will have to pay the price. And we are paying the price for humanity right now. So I hope people will realize that what's going on is dead serious. That has, like, international ramification and consequences. And that if you're not getting your head around right now, one day or another, sooner or later, you're going to face the consequences into your own country. So you better get ready for what's coming, because it is coming.
Well, Roman, we're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. I applaud your courage and your conviction, my friend. And I know you're in this for the same reason that most of us are, that we see a future coming very bleak for our children. And we are aware of this. We know, and we also know how it can be fixed. And we need to embrace these changes very, very quickly. We didn't get a chance to talk about environmental issues or free energy today, which I know you're deeply concerned about. So maybe we can carry on a conversation in the future and get into a few of those things. Because I know what's going on right now. The gentleman that you got to talk to this morning, if we have a look. Folks, if you're listening to me right now, go to Shaziz, the Mad Scientist's page on YouTube, and look at the neodymium accelerator generator, and it'll absolutely blow your mind. So anyways, folks, thanks for Roman, thanks for joining me this first hour. I'm going to take a break for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to have Mr. Roger Landry in for the second hour, and he's going to talk about some pretty cool stuff going on down in the United States. So hang in, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Thanks again, Roman.
Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome back to the second hour, guys, and really enjoyed that first hour. Great guests, great information. And I urge you guys to really take a look at what Roman and Gary is doing right now, since it's a social, and what they're trying to bring forward. Second hour, I've got Roger Landry.
Make me choke. Go ahead.
Roger Landry, of course, in with me for the second hour. I'm always glad to have Roger in. We've I don't know how many radio shows we've done over the last 5 years. I don't have that many fingers and toes, but Roger always brings forward great information, and look forward to having a chat with him. Roger, you were talking about an article at the break there that you want to bring forward, and I'll let you start with that. And like I said to Roger, I just hope he gives me a couple minutes to talk in the next hour.
Look, you and I are constantly discussing, before I even get into that, okay, we're constantly discussing the puppet masters. We're constantly discussing that the things we see going on that people are looking at and going, oh, my God, why is that happening, are in fact choreographed, okay? And they didn't start happening a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Some of these things started happening 100 years ago or longer. This is a plan, a long-term scenario. Would you agree so far?
Long, long time before I was born.
Yes. Yeah, we won't go into that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The bloodlines. The bloodlines go long and far, Roger. Oh, yes. And I have studied that. So go ahead.
Yes. All right. So we're talking about a power structure that has been built over a very long period of time. And it's just like a government agency becoming corrupt, okay? You never really figure it when it first starts out. But then, you know, if I take this to this guy, he's a little bit easier on me, or he doesn't quite, you know, get so upset when I don't make my deadlines. And you keep pushing that limit, especially in any type of a government or a governing scenario. And you keep pushing that, and you keep pushing that until you reach the point where the people who are supposed to be running it are no longer running it. When the scenarios that are supposed to dictate it are no longer dictating it. Okay, so let's talk about the global puppet masters and what's their agenda. Let me get through a short blurb, and then I really want to know what you think about this, okay? And this is the opening for the article that I published today. As a result of the power mongering, governmental overreach, and the usurpations engineered by a global elitist agenda and carried out by their puppet deep state or shadow government, from the planet-wide financial economic ruination via international banksters to the mind-bending swath of destruction by the world's most powerful military and complicit Western coalitions conducting perpetual warfare, humanity suffers today on levels not seen throughout recorded history. That's the opening comment. The long-term plan is to bring humanity to the brink of total annihilation. And this long-term plan has been literally going on for centuries. And once they got you at that brink of total annihilation, then offer a path back to order and safety with conditions. Freedom and liberty will not be a part of the salvation offered, and communism will seem friendly with respect to the aforementioned conditions. Those conditions will be defined by the agenda of this very same global elitist caste who choreographed and perpetuated the suffering, chaos, and destruction over countless generations from the very start. And the remaining global population will number in the millions, not the billions. Okay, you asked to have a chance to talk occasionally, Barry. So I'm about, I don't know, fourth or a fifth of the way through this. We going in the right direction.
Well, hey, Roger, what you're talking about, I have a great deal of not as great understanding as you do, but I understand how deep the rabbit hole goes and exactly what is going on in society. And continue with the article. Interesting.
What it is the rants of somebody who's 65 years old, which means, well, I will be in August,
yeah,
which means that I've got... Which means that I have three generations of perspective. I don't give a damn how smart you are at 19 or 20 or 21 today. You don't know this world in these countries the way Barry and I do. You haven't seen the massive societal changes. You haven't seen the massive global political changes. You haven't seen a world that's gone from
crazy,
rising up and protesting one war going on to allowing 10 of them to go on globally now with nobody ever saying a freaking word about it. Did all the peaceniks die?
Yeah, where'd the 70s go, Roger? Where did all the Vietnam demonstrations go? Where did people go that stood up against this stuff? They disappeared in their society. But that's a deep rabbit hole to go into. We know why, but that's one we could talk about for hours. But we won't go there today. Continue. It is. That's a deep rabbit hole. You know it, and I know it. But we start talking about that, we'll be going for an hour just on that particular subject alone. But I don't want to get you deviated, so continue with your article.
Well, there are always those naysayers. There are always those people who come up and say, gee, you know, you're pushing it, Raj. Maybe you're stretching it just a little bit, Raj. And for them, I say little tidbits, okay, like for those who really have trouble believing what I've already said, I've got a link right there in this article. And the name of the title for that article that I'm linking you to is Satanic Temple Rolling Out After-School Devil Worship Programs for Children Across America.
Wow.
It's not a joke. That's an absolute fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and then there is, of course, the George Guidestones, which calls for the elimination of almost 7 billion people to get humanity in balance with nature. Okay, what has never been satisfactorily explained to anybody who looks at the Georgia Guidestones is how do we get from 500 million, you know, from 7.5 billion? And who is expendable? You can bet your sweet bottom it sure the heck ain't the elites. Still, okay, it's very hard to glean their intent. Unless, of course, you look at it chiseled in stone. Anybody, and Barry will back me up on this, who's done any research on this stuff going on understands that these people are so arrogant, they telegraph their plans. They literally telegraph.
Absolutely. They've done that for years. They put it in front of our face, and we call it entertainment.
Yes. And when you put a monument up, it costs somebody a hell of a lot of money that clearly states that you need to keep humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. There's 7.5 billion of us. So let's focus on some more current global issues. The massive hatred spreading across the global community towards the Western-orientated global elitist power structure spearheaded by the USA, or those who own the USA, is reaching a breaking point as the dollar is deserted. More nations are waking up to the pure evil and insanity that approaches their front door in the form of global corporatism, or, maybe total military action? All right. I have 3 important questions for you. Actually, I've got 4. The first one is there any government left today, not the state or shadow government, that truly represents the will of its people? Any government? Is there one government on this ever-shrinking planet that truly informs the people they are trusted to represent? Is there any nation left standing that is not a puppet to the global elite masters in some fashion, no matter how excusable they say it is? And lastly, how do we determine what the truth is in a world of lies? And I will pause for you again. Only please give me more than 10 words so I can get some breath here.
Well, I have to go no, 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 and no to your questions. The banksters pretty well have their fingers into every country in the world. I think there's only 3 countries that don't have the IMF banking system involved in their countries at this particular point. So to say that we're not being controlled by an international banking cartel that influence and control every aspect of our lives, you'd have your head in the sand.
That really leads me into the next segment. It really does, because you're absolutely right. I have a meme inserted right here, and Barry will tell you I like me. Me and my memes, we get along great, okay? This one reads, and how appropriate after what you just said, Barry, if you cannot define the truth, again, if you cannot define the truth, just look to your government stance, then turn in the opposite direction, and the truth will be close at hand, because truth has no agenda, but governments do. So thank you for setting that up so perfectly.
You mean to tell me there's an agenda going on in our governments, Roger?
Ooh.
I've never seen that on CBC.
Well, let me explain it to you, okay? How long will we sit back and watch as this self-proclaimed globalist elite caste squeezes the life out of humanity via poison air, food, water, medicine, perpetual warfare, and economic ruin, all choreographed over generations, and all the while, they are profiting from this immensely. The world is closing in on these proclaimed elitists as a mass global awakening is underway. This is for all you people who thought this was just going to be a doom and gloom message. It isn't. And these idiots, these elitists are getting concerned. The agenda I touched upon above is facilitating the acceleration of their one world government. They're getting upset. They're getting scared. We're waking up. So they're speeding their plans up. New world order plans are being sped up in direct response to this awakening, forcing these puppet masters to throw caution in any consideration for the safety of humanity to the wind, if there ever was any consideration in the first place. Nowhere is this struggle becoming more apparent than in the deep state's shadow government puppets, as in the choreographed ongoing coup of a duly elected American president, unheard of in history. Again, Barry, your 2 cents, please.
Boy, that's a loaded statement, you know, when you're
finished. I'm not done.
I know. I'm going to just let you continue. I'm going to reserve comment till the end here. But yeah, you know, everything you say and what you're saying right now, I'm aware of that, you know, the bloodlines of the Illuminati run very, very deep and very, very long. And the control mechanisms we're seeing right now are running scared because the population in general is starting to wake up to the charade that we've been under for so many years of our banking system, how they are controlling our society, how that all wars are controlled by the bankers on both sides. People have a really hard time understanding that, but when they start to understand it, it really sets off some light bulbs in their brain. And I see that going on with people now on a regular basis.
When you stop to figure, and this is off script, that those who back a nation in war are usually backing their enemies as well.
Well, we know that the bankers have backed most wars in the last 200 years, if not all, Roger.
On both sides.
On both sides.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a no-lose situation. But let us continue here, okay? How much longer before a sizable portion of this world says enough, resulting in the pushback against these globalist elitists, this caste, okay, who will not go quietly or passively, and the holding of America, yes, America, as the puppet or tyrannical governments eventually, all tyrannical governments eventually throughout history have seen this. Again, don't tell me that I'm anti-American because I'm saying this. I'm absolutely loving the crap out of my country by saying this. Because if we don't wake up soon and slip out of the grip of those who are absolutely pissing the rest of the world off, I got to tell you something. There were a lot of innocent thinking Germans in World War II. There were a lot of innocent thinking Japanese in World War II, and I can go on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So holding America accountable as the puppets to these elites, the willing puppets, not by us, but by our so-called leaders, resulting in global warfare of a nightmarish proportion. Enter World War III. And if you for 1 second believe that these psychopathic tyrants would refrain from utilizing the immense arsenals of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons at their disposal to cull and pacify the herd while they are safely tucked away underground in their luxury bunkers, that's a fact, then you're an idiot.
I don't think a lot of people realize the depth of these underground bunkers and how many there are and how big. And I mean, I've looked into that, Roger, and it just blows my mind how many trillions of dollars they've taken away from the American people to build these things and get ready for that particular time. Because I believe that's coming. I don't believe that's without the realm of their possibility. If you want to call a herd, if you want to wipe out, like you said, 7 billion people, well, they have the tools at their disposal, and they're going to be underground watching TV.
Well, you're crazy. I'm crazy. I mean, Hey, hey, for all of those who would state our rantings only make us look like fools, indicating all who have the testicular fortitude to speak the truth so many sheep hide from in hopes of self-preservation. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. And fool, they're all fools. Here's my reply to them. Enter meme number two. In this struggle for liberty, I would much rather endeavor alongside those who have the guts to stand up and make fools of themselves than to suffer those who, out of fear of making fools of themselves, won't stand up.
Mm, absolutely. Silence is consent.
Ah, okay. That's so true. Now, that's basically it with this small closing statement here, okay? Humanity stands on the precipice of either massive annihilation, remember, 7.5 billion to 500 million, the likes of which nothing in history can compare with except maybe the biblical flood, or an awakening that will facilitate the movement of all societies into a future where the people's voices are heard and respected. Which way we as a species goes depends on just how effective entities like the Liberty Beacon Project and this show, Barry's show, The Big Puzzle, are in facilitating the massive awakening required to forestall our own destruction. Let me explain something to you people. It's happening. Look at what's going on in Europe. Look at what's going on in France.
Israel.
I'm telling you.
Iran, Iraq, Turkey. It's exploding right now, folks. And if you're not
paying attention. All right, Barry, I'm done.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, world events right now. And like, I find that myself, I can't focus on everything because there's just too much going on. So I kind of focus on certain issues. But I know right now that the Mideast is in turmoil, that Israel yesterday launched one of the biggest airstrikes they've ever launched against bases in Iraq. We see the rumors of wars. We see them all rattling their sabers at each other right now. And all it would take is one little flick of a switch, and you'd see World War III. People don't realize how close we are to that point right now. We see what's going on in Russia. We see what's going on everywhere. And it seems to be coming to an escalation. It comes to come to a point. And if I maybe I'm seeing this wrong, but that's what I'm seeing. What do you see? Do you see it coming to a point? Because we're seeing an incredible rise in the saber rattling right now around the world. The South China Sea, we haven't even talked about that. Go ahead, Roger.
I would tell you that if you take a serious look, what in your mind, and no, I'm not asking you to answer, I'm not just asking you to think of this. What in your mind was the beginning of World War I? What in your mind was the beginning of World War II? Because if those are the qualifiers, then this planet is in World War III. The question is, to what level will it escalate? And how much of humanity will be affected or afflicted by it? But if you take a look at the hostilities overtly or covertly going on around this planet right now and the power struggles that are, manipulating massive military assets across this planet, if we're not at war, what the hell do you call it?
Well, we're seeing it ramping up everywhere right now, Roger. I mean, it's not being talked about on NBC or ABC, but it's real, and it is escalating, and I know that. But like I said, the media is not covering this. Go ahead.
The qualifiers. What started World War I? Okay, Archduke Ferdinand got shot. Okay, what happened between the day Archduke Ferdinand got shot and everybody started killing each other? It didn't happen the next day. What started World War II? The same thing, okay? Germany pushing their boundaries and then maybe pushing a little bit more and Japan starting to get a little bit imperialistic. That was a 5-6 year process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you go back to qualify what started that war, you can't say it's the day everybody started shooting at each other. What you say is an inevitable outcome from a string of events. If you use that as the qualifier for both world wars, we are in fact in the infant stages of World War III.
Well, I sure hope they don't start launching nukes around, because that could really ruin our day, Roger.
Well, man. There's a lot of people waking up. Oh. You said it.
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, if I believe there could be rogue nukes out there looking at investigations into Russia and missing nukes and stuff like that I've looked into over the years to say that there isn't a rogue one out there. And boy, I'll tell you, if one nuke set off in a major American city could trigger a world war that none of us would survive. None of us.
So, some of us would survive it. They
would be the ones that go underground and the ones that actually are set up to survive that kind of scenario. Yes, there will be some people that survive. But I also believe Mother Nature would have a little karma for them. And she'd just give them a couple good earthquakes and that would be the end of them. Because she's not going to let them. Listen, she's not going to let them totally destroy her planet without payback, okay? So if these guys think they're going to go into their underground bunkers and be safe when this crap hits the fan, I got a newsflash for them. Mother Nature will deal with them. Believe me.
It may be mankind that deals them in with a little of Mother Nature's help. And what I'm talking about is... There are hundreds of nuclear reactors across this planet. World War III happens. We're going to see intentionally, because it will cripple entire nations, we are going to see high-altitude nuclear explosions setting off EMP pulses that are going to strip entire countries or huge portions of countries of all electric power. And they won't get it back for quite a while. All of these electric plants have maybe 12, 24. Well, I'm talking about places like Russia, China, places like that, where they may only have a couple of days of actual diesel fuel on hand. You've got to remember, this is going to wipe out vehicles. These damn things run on chips nowadays. They won't even start up. So what you're going to have is a rippling effect of massive Chernobyls and massive Fukushimas going off, not one like Fukushima, which has almost destroyed the entire Pacific Ocean all by itself. There's going to be hundreds of these things melting down across the planet, and life on this planet won't be able to exist as we know it for in excess of 10,000 years.
Yeah, you know, that's a scenario, Roger, that I don't even really like talking about, but it's such a real scenario that we right now, I mean, this is something that we've talked about so many times, and it's something I talk about a lot, is nuclear insanity. And you're absolutely correct that most of the major nuclear power plants in the United States have a 30-day backup plan, 30 days generator.
Yes.
And even those might be shut down by an EMP. But once those are shut down, you're going to see meltdowns like you have never seen in human history. And you're correct, man. Life, how can we say that life will exist if we have 200 or 300 Fukushimas going off? And we'll couple into the equation, of course, the effect that will have on all these tectonic plate areas right now that are on the verge of snapping in the planet. We're looking at hell on Earth, and I hope we don't see that happen, but it is a very, very real scenario, unfortunately. So anybody that's going to let off an EMP, Roger, if they let off an EMP over North America, they are signing their own death warrant. So maybe somebody should have a talk with these guys before they go ahead and do that.
Well, I would tell you that I am a firm believer that this planet has cycled through several ups and downs, where you had full-blown and technological civilizations that literally got wiped off planet. Now, I'm not going to tell you whether it was done naturally or whether it was done by self-described or self-inflicted destruction. What I am going to tell you is that there is scientific proof that there has been civilization on this planet back over 500,000 years ago. And it actually, in some cases, go further back than that. The biggest problem is, okay, and we've always managed to leave enough human beings alive to start the process over again. Adam and Eve, so to speak, okay? But it actually, you may have been like a million people or a couple hundred thousand out of a huge society. Now here we sit. If the scenario I just explained to you happens, There will be no comeback. It will mean the total end, elimination of humanity, period, gone. Because this planet will be too radioactive, too toxic for 10,000 years. Nothing humanity ever did will survive that.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you, Roger, because we're talking about the extinction of all life forms on the planet, right to the very, very smallest microorganisms on the bottom of the ocean will no longer exist. And you're absolutely correct that we literally have one of the most horrific scenarios in front of our faces right now that I could possibly ever imagine for the human race. And yet we, through our ignorance and our complacency, have allowed this to be a reality in our world today. Whoever thought about nuclear? Well, you know, for one, Roger, you know, and I know that nuclear power was never brought to the human race as a new form of energy production. It was brought to the human race so they could produce weapons-grade plutonium. That's a fact, and that's why they designed these reactors to work the way they do. They could design reactors that are so much safer using tritium. Is that, did I say that right? I believe that's the element that they could use that would basically make these things about 1,000% safer. But even on, you know, the insanity on unleashing the sun on the planet and expecting the planet not to get burned. We could talk about this for hours, the insanity. You could look at organizations that follow scrams at all the nuclear power plants in the United States, America, and Canada. And we're seeing major scrams all the time now. This is not being exposed. There's a complete media cover-up on anything to do with nuclear. So to me, it's like we're saying, unless, Roger, honestly, at this point, unless the human race can get their poop together real quick and we eliminate all nuclear power off this planet, however it's done, it would be a monumental task. But if we could do that, then I could say maybe we have a future for the planet. But right now, honestly, my friend, I don't see it. Because it's just a matter of time, my friend. And you know, and I know, that one of these major geological events are going to happen. The Cascadia on the West Coast could absolutely destroy and set off nuclear reactors on the West Coast. The same thing in the San Madre. The same thing, we're talking about scenarios all over the planet right now where we've covered these fault lines with nuclear power plants. And we're telling Mother Nature that she can't do what she's been doing for millions of years. Are we insane? Go ahead. Are we insane?
Did you really ask me that? Did you really? God.
We're going to kill ourselves, guys. How else can we put it to you? We are going to extinguish all life on the planet. And how do we
do that? I don't believe so, because if I am, I don't know, standing back far enough to see the big picture. If I'm standing back far enough to see the big picture, I do think that humanity is inherently good. The problem with us is the mechanisms that are used to control society. And those mechanisms are inherently not good. And what am I talking about? Money that is based on debt. As soon as you introduce that to any system, the eventuality is those at the top who have a lot and those at the bottom who have nothing. What you start with is a system that can produce nothing but wealth for some and inequity for others. So, Barry, where do we start with this? Huh? The whole system is based on – so what we need to do is we need to, as you say, we need to change that system. We need a monetary system that is based on not debt, not nothing. It's not fiat. It doesn't get printed out of thin air. Most people say, well, what would the United States base it on? Well, if we don't do it on gold, which we don't have to, what most people don't understand, and I'm going to tell you something, if you don't believe it, go check. The United States has more oil under the southern portion of the Rockies in the United States than all of the Middle East combined and then some. Some estimate as much as 3 trillion barrels, which we haven't touched. What would we base our dollar on? How much iron ore is in this country?
I've always said to do that off of the oil instead of the gold.
Yes, Steve. Yes.
Yeah.
At least so long as we rely on the carbon-based economy, why not use our own for our own benefits?
Well, we can also use the transition, okay? All right. But the point here is we are going to see a global reset. Anybody in your audience right now, and I apologize, Barry, for what I'm about to say, who doesn't believe that there is going to be a global monetary reset is an idiot. The fiat money systems have run their course. They are so overextended. The bubble is so big, and it's not that just it's just a bubble. You ever look in a sink when you put a little dish liquid in and turn the water tap on? Well, you've got one big bubble with like 15 or 20 little bubbles clinging to the side of it. That's what we have. That's what we live in.
They're talking about trying to get rid of the American dollar and all currencies to make a global currency for a long time now. Even Roger has spoken about this in the past. Thing is, we tried going that route with digital currency, right? Bitcoin came out, swept the nation, swept the world. Except the problem was they didn't want to embrace it simply because they couldn't centralize it.
Agreed.
Now they
didn't see you sneak back in here, Gary.
I did. I apologize.
What you're saying is true.
Bitcoin because they've now managed to control it.
Yes.
But there are several other smaller coins that are now gaining traction that will decentralize the monetary system. And once somebody runs with this, as some people are planning, and in fact, with our synthesis project, we are going to be incorporating this with that. But it will totally block the centralized banking cartels from the Rothschilds all the way down to the Federal Reserve and the IRS and the Canadian Revenue Service and all these things. It will make what Gaddafi was trying to pull a joke.
Look like child's play.
It will look like child's play because once they realize that they don't have to pay to use their own money, once they realize that they don't have to actually use a money that's not worth a damn thing to begin with,
right.
They will lose their ever-loving collective minds.
Mm-hmm. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary Gilbert, Roger. He is the founder. Gary is the founder of Synthesis Canada, Synthesis USA. Look at what he's doing.
I intend on it now because he actually makes sense.
Yeah, I wanted to actually get you two guys together. Roger is one of the things on the to-do list. So
he just brought something up that far too many people are too close to the picture to ever see. Okay? I have literally written a dozen articles deeply researching Muammar Gaddafi. I know for a fact that the Libyans had the highest standard of living in that part of the world. I know that a newly married couple got a house paid for by the government. Their medical was paid for by the government. Their university, including going abroad to the United States, was paid for by the government. This guy truly wanted to help.
Can I point something out just kind of to expand on that,
sure.
Rod?
Go ahead. Absolutely.
Now, Roger has just pointed out some facts to you in regards to Libya and Gaddafi. All we heard about Gaddafi in the West was terrorism, right?
Yes!
And don't get me wrong, he was absolutely involved 100% with stuff.
Yes.
But he learned that that's not in his own life, he was doing this in his own country for his people. 10 cents gas, free this. Yep. You have a baby, they pay you. But when you look at that and you see the results of what happened to Gaddafi, and then you compare that with Saddam, who also was going to do the same thing.
Yes.
You compare that with Iran, who was also going to do the same thing, get rid of the whole OPEC thing and go on, you know, go base currency and everything else to disrupt the Rothschilds money banking cartel. And so many others, all these people that we've been told have been bad guys. And don't get me wrong, I'm not making excuses for Iran or for Saddam or any of these other bad people that were doing some atrocious things. Think that we don't do atrocious things in the name of democracy. And the reality is, we've not went to war over oil like a lot of people were tricked into thinking. We've been gone to war over the dominant currency of the planet, the control of that currency.
What's the first thing that happens in every one of these countries? We go in to help them save their democracy and they go down. The first thing that happens is, a new Federal Reserve central style bank is installed in that country.
Let me ask you a question. I know there's a lot of Americans listening, and I know that a lot of you paid attention during the Iraq War, the first one and the second one. Let me ask you a question. Why were they building Walmarts and McDonald's in Iraq? Did you think they were going to have a McCamel burger? You know, roll back your prayer mat prices.
What you've spoken to, and you just lit the match to a fuse that could burn for a very long time.
I have a habit.
Hold on. What you just discussed, okay? What you just mentioned is a very, 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 very minor tip of the iceberg when we talk about the total out of control spending of the U.S. military. Where the day before 9/11, okay, the Secretary of Defense stands up and says, "Well, we can't find $2.9 trillion, but we're looking at it in building number 7 of you know, boom."
Oh, you mean that place where there was those two trucks left with gold bricks on them, but the rest of it was missing? That building 7 that collapsed without getting touched?
How about the missile that hit the Pentagon and took out the offices of the group that were investigating? That was a coincidence.
My friend started here.
You got us going, Roger. 9/11 is a loaded subject.
He's now in prison because he tried to tell people that it was a missile and not a plane, and they've now put him in prison as a result.
Okay. Well, then come and put me in jail, guys.
The point here is, right now, and Barry, you've heard me say this before, and people just are not warming up to the idea, which I really don't give a damn. Okay, you know me, I think the way I think, and I don't care if anybody else thinks the way I think, but what we're looking at right now is a civil war, and it's not between Americans and Americans. It's not between Republicans and Democrats. It's not between progressives and liberals. It's between one side of the elitist caste and the other. Trump's on one side and his buddies.
Enter the Q-tarded nation.
Look, I've also stated this on many occasions. Anybody who believes for one second that anybody can ever be elected to president of the United States without having sold his soul to the devil, at least on some level, is showing how stupid they are.
I call them wastes of DNA, and I get a lot of flack for that because people get a little bit ass-chapped and angry.
I just call
but
them
that's
stupid.
What it is.
Well, I'm glad you haven't called me wastes of DNA yet, Gary, because...
Okay. Listen, all these Q-tarded folks running around that don't realize that this whole concept has always been, through history, one side vying for the crown, fighting the other side, and using you to do it.
Okay, if now you happen, I have to pick
if
up.
Claim to be woken up. Yeah. If you claim to be woken up and you don't understand that concept, you're just wasting my time.
Okay, that's where I pick back up with the Civil War, okay? We have a civil war going on right now. Anybody who believes that Mr. Trump isn't on one side of that elitist caste civil war is an idiot. I can show you pictures of the Rothschilds and the Trumps on many occasions having a really, really good time together.
You don't even have to go that far. To do it. You can just simply say, look, Trump is a billionaire, right? Everybody knows this. He's a multi-billionaire. And all these ideas that he's going to somehow go around the globe and arrest thousands of people that are a part of this financial cabal and destroying the world, why would he cut his own throat? Do you honestly believe he's a dummy?
No, but I do believe that some of that is going to happen. I do believe we are going to see temporary martial law in this country.
You'll see people taken out of the equation because of that transition from one side of the elite to the other.
I believe that's
there will always be
agenda.
What we are seeing.
But don't think it's because he's some kind of hero to the Republic. He's not doing it for your sake. He's not doing it for my sake. He's doing it for his sake. He's chosen his side. He's been established. Don't get me wrong. He's doing some good things, needed things. But you have to get the people online. They've been beaten for so long that they needed a win. And he's providing that win to get those people to refocus back on the distraction.
Go ahead, Roger.
I would tell you that the world is tired of liberal idiots. And anybody who can't see that is an idiot. It's running rampant all across the planet. Okay? There are those who wish to have community. There are those who wish to have national borders. There are those who enjoy their heritage. And this is what society, the foundations of society, is built on. People are at the point right now, it's just like Here's something that's going to shock everybody. As liberal as the kids today are, the youngest generation, the 17 and younger, is already considered the most conservative generation born in a century. So it is cyclical. So what we're seeing right now, okay, is Trump did pick sides. Trump's got an ego bigger than Trump Towers. How's Trump going to be remembered for eternity as the best president in modern day history? By doing things for the people. Gee, he's a great showman. Do you think maybe him and the people he worked for, because he's just a small billionaire compared to a lot of them, the people he worked for got together and said, we can give them all of this, but if we do it in this way, we get all of this. That's what's happening right now.
Why do you think he's jumped on board with this? This is really about him being accepted. Absolutely. This is what I've been saying for a long time, and I get so many people, so many naysayers trying to insult me and hurt my feeling. They keep coming back, and they don't realize that for Trump's entire life, he has fought to become part of that establishment. He has fought to be recognized, and they always snub their nose at him because he was that guy, just that pookie down the block. And this establishes him forever around the globe as one of the gang. Because
not
you cannot
only does it do that, you're right, okay? But you and I, we won't be as privy to that glorious showering of praise that he will. What we're going to see is, what did he do for the American people? And I got to tell you something. I know this guy doesn't walk on water. I've been preaching this to everybody, and Barry will tell you that. But I got to tell you something. The list of things he's done for the American people to date is pretty pretty freaking impressive.
He's done some good things, and he says the right words. But just because somebody says and does certain things at a certain time does not make it genuine. You got to remember something. Trump does not suffer from the same malices that you and I suffer from. He doesn't have to worry about penny pinching. He doesn't have to worry about bad health care. He doesn't have to worry about rising costs of gas or housing or insurance or any of this other stuff. So he can afford to do whatever he wants to do regardless. Now, is he making changes, positive changes for America? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny that. He absolutely is. For everyday average Joe. But he does not suffer exactly. He does not have to deal with the consequences.
No, that's not what
I mean.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is, okay, he doesn't suffer that, okay? He really doesn't. He doesn't suffer anything from us whatsoever. What he suffers at this point, all right, is his message getting out? That's all he cares about right now. Is his message getting out? I have never seen a guy play to an audience more. There has never been a president play to an audience more. The sad part of this is, even though he is doing some good things and he is uniting the country, the sad part of this is that if I had to name the modern day Pied Piper, who do you think I would name?
Harry Prince.
I got a question. I got a question from chat.
I apologize.
Yeah, I got one. A person asked me in chat there. Patty's asked me if you've ever heard of Michael Tellinger. Because that's the question. And have you ever heard of the Mana World Holding Trust?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but the individual, no.
Okay.
Michael Tellinger, he's on that, you know, that Gaia.com. He's like a South African author, politician, explorer, founder of the Ubuntu Party, and they support the the supply of free resources across the society, right?
Yeah.
He's got some good points, but now the society she's talking about, that's a show in itself.
Okay.
Well, I put the questions out and just had somebody asking me in chat, so I thought I'd pass it on to you, gentlemen. But let's carry on. We only got about 10 minutes left, and the hour will be up. It goes very quick when I get you guys in here. And it's nice, actually, it is nice to get the odd word in, but Roger, I'm going to let you continue on because we are down to the last 10 minutes. And continue on with your thought there.
I don't have any thoughts. I really don't. You know, I have massive influxes. You were
on some kind of a thought there, and I think we.
No. You're right. I was making a point. I don't have thoughts. What I have is massive influxes of information that I have to try and sort through before it crushes me. That's my life every day. Barry, you know me. I wake up literally at 7 o'clock in the morning. I am at my computer by 7:30. I have computers all over the house, so no matter where I go, I'm on my freaking computer. I work with multiple websites, multiple media sources, the whole nine yards every day. News calls, news, discussing things with people about what the hell can we do, the whole nine yards. The one thing that all of you have that I don't have is the perspective of a day off. But the one thing I can say is there is very little that you can ask me about that we are tripping over and falling face first into across the planet today that I can't at least hold an intelligent conversation about. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history. I'm going to be 65 years old. I have three full generations of perspective. I have never seen this planet this screwed up and with possibilities of triggering it to the next level all around us. Is it exciting? Hell yes. As long as you don't define exciting as safe, reliable, dependable, understandable. Predictable. But hell yeah, Barry, we live in very exciting times.
We do so, Roger. And it only seems to be getting better by the day. And where it all is going, well, we don't have the answer for that, but we know that things are changing radically and that the left is really pushing their agenda. We know they're not going to go down without a fight. We know they have all kinds of little tools in their toolbox that they could unleash on the human race when the time comes. We know they control the money. We know of all these things around us that could turn our world upside down in 24 hours. So all we can do at this point is try and make people aware of all these things that we talk about and share our knowledge.
I do believe that Trump is responsible for something, and that whether he was aware of this or not, okay, is not, it's not even relevant, but I do believe he's responsible for it. I honestly believe that within the first 6 months of Hillary Clinton's first term, there would have been a total monetary collapse in the United States, and the Democrats and the progressives and the George Soros and the, the Rothschilds of the world would have had an excuse to literally step in and openly take control of the United States. I honestly believe that was set up. It would have happened within the first year, definitely by this point in her first term. I have no doubt about that. When Trump got into office, that was forestalled indefinitely. Right now, rumors have it, 2021. I still think that there may be mechanisms beyond their control, and it could still happen next year. But that's not the point, okay? The point here is, even by giving people hope, enough people are awake at this point across the planet that these elitists are looking at everything they're doing, and rather than being, as the French can tell you, caught up in a lynch mob, what do we need to do to hide this? What do we need to do to make this not so blatant? What do we need to do? This is the result of Trump's brazen self-grandification. This is the result. We are benefiting from this regardless of whether he intended it or not. All I'm saying is let's get the rest of these damn people awake before people stop watching him. Mm.
Good points, Roger. Well, we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show. Gary, what are your thoughts? And I'm going to let you share information on synthesis and plug the sites. And always a pleasure having you in, my friend.
Thank you. Again, I apologize for the way I jumped in there, folks. I had to slip away from an earlier part of the show, but I thought I'd come back. I agree with what Roger's saying now, specifically in regards to the – it doesn't matter whether he meant to or not or whether he intended it or not. The real consequences are is that it is benefiting folks because the idea of bankrupting America was absolutely on the agenda. And it was timed with the UK, with France, and as we see in Canada right now, Canada. And if they all fell at once, that's the Western nations done. Allowing to step in by these other people through the Soros mentality. And don't kid yourself, Soros was a puppet too, but he's just a face puppet.
Yes, so, no, he's a puppet.
You know, he's just higher up than Trump, but he's still a puppet. And
like almost 74 billion more.
This is what we've done. We've done this in Yugoslavia. We've done this in the Middle East, in Africa. Whenever the people can't manage themselves, it justifies people like, through agencies like the UN, to step in and take control and really tighten the grip on people. So we avoided
it. Call it tightening the grip. I call it standing behind them and slipping them something they probably weren't expecting.
I was going to say something along those lines, but I promised Barry that I'd try to be a little bit civil. I'm not. I'd be a lot more colorful if I was.
And I got to do a recorded conversation together. I swear to God, people would either die laughing or they would become sworn freaking fans forever.
Well, probably, or maybe a bit of both. I would love to. I followed you for a while. I remember there was a few things, like when you did your big European thing. That was huge for me. I loved that. I loved when you came out with that one. You know, and I've you know, the thing, you have that thing. You're not afraid to just speak. And that to me is so important. And, well, I'm just a bit of an a-hole, that's all.
Me too!
Here we got three of them in one room. Is, holy smokes.
We can make this change just by doing exactly what Roger's doing, just standing up and speaking. Barry wanted me to mention about Synthesis. Synthesis is basically a replica of some of the other social medias, the YouTube, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Pinterest, but all rolled into one site. And what makes us different from some of the other sites like MeWe or Minds or Gab is that we identified some of the problems they had that would stop them from allowing free speech or privacy issues that they couldn't enforce because they're beholden to third-party user policies. For what that means is that they're using corporate hosting, which has their own user policy, which means no matter how much you support free speech, you can't enforce it if you're beholden to another party. And we're not in that position. That's one of the things we addressed when we started Synthesis Social. So picture Facebook, but a private Facebook, which has YouTube built into it, Twitter built into it, Pinterest built into it, GoFundMe and all these other things, Indiegogo, and all these other options built right into it under one site, but done from a perspective of truly free speech, which is a double-edged sword, folks. It's not just I can go and say what I want. It also means that you have to deal with other people doing and saying the same thing.
Or it hurting someone else's feelings and then complaining.
We've got a report button. You can report somebody. But that report comes to me. And guess what I say when I get that report that somehow I hurt Roger Landry's feeling? Well, when he sends that report to me, I'm going to tell him FYF. And because Barry won't let me swear on here, you'll have to use your imagination for that.
Oh, gee, let me guess. I didn't promise Barry anything.
Beep, beep, beep. Hey, listen, we're down to the last minute here, guys. Roger, real quick, plug your site, and I'll close out the show. It's been a great, great conversation. It didn't go long enough.
I can't give you all the sites. Don't have enough time. Flagship website, thelibertybeacon.com. Our online TV shows are on tlbtv.com. So those are the two main sites. There are many. Thank you, Barry. It's always fun getting on here and getting ready to rumble.
Well, thank you guys for joining me, man. It's been fun. It's been a great 2 hours. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you to People's Internet Radio for providing this platform, and thanks to Annie for simulcasting my show, and to Steve Roberts for the producing work he does for me.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate it, guys. You guys are great, and I really appreciate what you're doing for me. I'll be back next week, same time, same place, guys. Lots of good thoughts this week, lots of good conversations. Look forward to seeing you again next week, same time. Bye for now.